You're listening to
The Marne Report.
Hey, howdy, Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield. It's Brian Lund here with another edition of the Fort Stewart Marne Report podcast. And today's special guest, we have Brett Cowan, the energy manager on Fort Stewart. How are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
I know I'm doing great. It's great to have you here today. So this is a very special month for us. October is Energy Action Month. So can you talk to us a little bit about what that means and why is this recognized?
So what that means is the Army every October tries to focus on how important energy is to its mission. And so they come out with a theme every year. And generally speaking, they're all about energy efficiency and energy resiliency. So this year, it's powering the mission. You can imagine, like, you know, you coming to work every day or a soldier on the battlefield, they need some form of energy to do whatever it is they're doing at that moment. So energy is a huge factor for the Army. So any way to, you know, extend the use of that energy or reduce the cost of that energy is a huge benefit to the Army.
Yes, sir. And so as we speak about energy, as I mentioned before, you are the energy manager. So what does that exactly mean?
I usually like to refer to myself as being the one paid to care about energy and water efficiency resiliency on the base. So my job is to kind of look at what Fort Stewart is using when it comes to, you know, electricity, water, natural gas, try to find ways to not only reduce that consumption, you know, maybe through more efficient technologies, or maybe there's different ways to reduce the cost. Peak shaving is one example, which we can get into later. But just generally just saving the energy, both in energy and water, but also money. So that's primarily my goal. And then also just implementing things such as metering so that we can more effectively track what we're consuming and how much we're consuming, and implementing things such as, you know, more renewables as well. That's another goal of mine.
Yes, sir. So as you speak about renewables, why do you believe that energy awareness is important? Why do you believe this is something that we should recognize for this month?
Well, I think for a lot of individuals on the base, you know, neither one of us when we come to work is handed an energy bill at the end of the day saying, hey, right, you use this much, you know, power to run your computer or to make a cup of coffee or whatever. So likewise for soldiers as well, you know, they don't get really any energy bill when they're living in the barracks as well. So understandably, there's kind of like a, maybe more like an ignorance that, you know, hey, you know, I'm not being charged for this. Right. I'll use whatever I want, you know, and it is understandable. But at the same time, you know, that costs the Army overall, you know, money to supply you with that electricity, that water, that natural gas. So it's beneficial for all of us to kind of do our part and try to reduce that burden on the Army, because those dollars that don't necessarily need to be spent on that, you know, energy or water could be used on project that improves our efficiency and resiliency even more.
Yes, sir. And so to that point, let's get into what are some simple actions individuals can take to reduce energy?
Some simple actions. So for example, when you're doing laundry, and it doesn't necessarily have to be on the base, you know, anywhere, but if you're doing laundry, if you try to wash your clothes in cold water, that is a huge energy bonus. So imagine the maximum amount of energy your washing machine could use for clothes. If you clean with hot water, right, that's 90% of the energy, roughly,
okay,
while only 10% is going to that motor. So it's like a 9-to-1, right, you know, ratio between, hey, I could just wash with cold water, and then the only energy that's going for this machine or being used by this machine is the motor to spin it around.
Yes, sir.
Or I can use 9 times more of it,
you know, right,
to heat the water, you know. And most of the time, you know, cold water will get your clothes just as clean as hot water. And on kind of a not so energy related note, but an interesting tidbit about cleaning laundry is that actually using less soap will clean your clothes better.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So if you overuse on soap, you know, soap is slick, you know. So it's really the friction that is what cleans your clothes.
Or it's starting to set up a little bit, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. So the friction between your clothes, rubbing it against the walls, rubbing it against each other is what cleans your clothes. So you can imagine the more soap you add, the slicker it gets. And so there's less friction and less cleaning. So
wow, yeah.
If you use a little less soap, you can actually make sure your clothes are as clean. And, you know, it makes your soap go a lot longer.
Yes, sir.
So it saves you money that way.
That's another way to save money right there.
Exactly. Other common ways are, you know, LEDs. LEDs are big right now. They continue to be big. We do have a current project ongoing, and if you're in one of the facilities, you may have seen it, but they are replacing lights with LEDs. So not only do LEDs use around like a third of the wattage, but they tend to last, you know, 3 to 5 times longer than a fluorescent. So not only are you going to save on energy, but you won't have to spend as much money on replacement costs. Like, right. So in the span of an LED, you know, being alive, you may have changed an equivalent fluorescent 4, maybe 5 times.
Yes, sir.
Especially when you are turning off and on that light repeatedly, because fluorescents don't work very well on lights that are just turned off and on all the time. And then other common ones, just, you know, shutting off lights or appliances, and on the latter, even unplugging them are good ways to conserve energy. You know, shutting off your monitor after you leave work as opposed to letting it go in sleep mode. Sleep mode nowadays is pretty efficient at reducing the wattage, but a common refrain is, you know, a piece of equipment that's off or unplugged doesn't use any more energy, or yes, doesn't use any energy as opposed to something that's in sleep. So it's a little bit, but when you kind of think about how many computers are on this installation,
right,
it's quite a bit. So you can certainly shut those off.
And so you spoke about it a little bit, being the energy manager you are and kind of in charge of that energy bill in a sense. So from your point of view, how do you believe that Energy Action Month encourages efficiency within the military scope?
When it comes to, you know, my job, energy resiliency is, you know, one of the primary responsibilities. But I think what people don't understand is how that's connected to energy efficiency.
Right.
So energy efficiency will essentially improve the energy resilience measures that we currently have in place. So for example, if you have a microgrid on your base and it can supply 10 megawatts, right? But your base, you know, maybe uses like 15 megawatts. Obviously, there's an imbalance there, and, you know, part of the base might not be powered by that one microgrid. But say you were able to like decrease the consumption of your base by that 5 megawatts. Well, now your whole base can do it. So now you went from being only like 66% resilient to like 100% resilient. So that's how energy efficiency and you know, can essentially improve energy resilience indirectly. But it just allows those resilient measures to be more effective at covering the critical missions.
Yes, sir. And so this is more of, I guess, a big picture question. So have you seen some innovative like initiatives going forward as it has to do with energy resilience? Is there anything new that we know now that maybe we didn't know before, or different technology out there right now that can help us with this?
So I know that the Army is doing a lot of research in like micronuclear reactors.
Okay.
We're probably a couple years off from that, you know, but I think they were talking something as small as like 50 megawatts.
All right.
And something like that could actually support all of Fort Stewart. So In that future where those are more widespread and available, one of those could support the entirety of Fort Stewart.
That's
and so
insane.
We could essentially be separated from the grid, you know, with that one reactor.
It's crazy to think about, yes.
Right, exactly. Microgrids themselves are also big. If you didn't know what a microgrid was, like, you can kind of think of like this kind of power generation system that's hooked up to certain facilities or certain functions. And when the grid goes down, that microgrid will come up and power all of the things that it's tied to. So it's like a more kind of like a small scale targeted solution. And we actually do have one here on the base. Well, actually, we have a couple. The most prominent one is the one at Building 1. That one supports kind of like all your critical infrastructure here. But there are two other microgrids, much larger scale ones, that I've been working to get on the base. And we're actually at the, I think they're about to be advertised for award.
Right.
So once those are built, those would be able to kind of support the critical loads, both at Fort Stewart and Hunter, you know, for each respective project.
Yes, sir.
And as kind of an added bonus, they'll be able to peak shave. And peak shaving is the idea that during times of the year, for us, it's between July and September, we have electricity costs that are much higher, you know, at certain times of the day.
All right.
So maybe around like 2 to 7 p.m., there'll be hours where our electricity cost is like $1.50 a kilowatt hour, $2 a kilowatt hour, when normally it's only like 5 or 6 cents.
And does it have to do with like the sun or is it the heat? What do you think is causing
it? It's mostly governed by the demand from like Georgia. So we get our power from Georgia Power.
Yes, sir.
So the demand, because they see so much demand during that time, they increase the cost because they have to bring all of these other generation components online to kind of meet that demand. So they've got to charge extra. And so peak shaving would allow us to run those microgrids during those times where electricity is really expensive. And because these microgrids would run off of natural gas is, you know, really cheap, you know, during that summer months. So we would save pretty enormous amount of money during those summer months. So it's not necessarily like an energy efficiency component just because we're still using the same amount of energy. However, we are swapping one expensive, commodity for a less expensive commodity. Cutting costs a bit during that time. Other things that I've seen are kind of like more small scale, like wind turbines that can be installed on top of facilities. That's one thing that I think that Fort Stewart could take advantage of because when it comes to the renewable side, I think the two biggest or two most probable renewables that we're going to pursue here at Fort Stewart is either solar or wind,
right?
Like geothermal is not really that feasible here. And, you know, we don't really have many big rivers here that we could slap a hydropower plant or, you know, and biomass or landfill gas. We can't really utilize that.
We haven't tried the Savannah River yet?
No, we have not. We might get into some trouble with the Corps if we try to do that. I think wind and solar are probably the most feasible here. So things like parking lot solar, you know, like canopy solar over our parking lots or, you know, rooftop solar, even like floating solar. You know, they have one. I think the Army has a floating solar project on another installation. So 2nd Brigade kind of has these two retention ponds that have some really, you know, a lot of acreage of water that we could potentially get a couple megawatts of solar power from that. And again, like the wind power, you know, I'm not expecting them to kind of carry the full load of the building here, but if it can at least kind of cut into that building's energy use, you know, that's definitely a plus.
Win right there, yeah, yes, sir.
Exactly.
And so as we wrap up this podcast, I want to say thank you again for all the information you shared. Is there anything that you want to leave the people with? Something, just a simple reminder as we go forward, not even for this month, but year round.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just all about being self-aware, you know, so like when you walk out of a room, like, are you shutting off that light, you know, if you're not going back in, are you leaving the water off while you brush your teeth? You know, it's kind of just these little things that you want to be more aware of that you're doing.
Yeah, that stack up over time.
Because that's where you can kind of make the observation and see like, hey, could I not do this thing and save some energy and water? And again, you know, these tips, like, obviously for me, it's good if you apply them at work, but like you could always apply them at home and you're going to save yourself money, not the Army money, but you're going to save yourself money.
It's, and you can do day to day, right?
Right. Exactly. So it's all about kind of being aware and then kind of making that change. And once you make that change, it's really easy for you to continue to do it. And then also find new ways to be more efficient, energy efficient in your life.
Well, thank you again, Brett. That's going to conclude another episode of the Marm Report podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
The Digital Garrison app is your one-stop source for all things Fort Stewart Hunter Army Airfield. With the DG at your fingertips, you'll never miss out on upcoming events, installation updates, facility and gate information, weather, shopping, and so much more. Digital Garrison is free from your phone's app store. Download today.